On this third Sunday of Advent, we're focusing on Mary, the mother of our Lord. Now, the Bible tells us very little about Mary herself, but we do know something of her culture and the environment in which she grew up. For example, at that time, 2,000 years ago in Jewish Palestine, the women folk were married very young, normally by their mid-teens. They had no formal education to speak of, but like Mary, they would have received instruction on the faith in the synagogue. In the scripture passage we'll read shortly, we will learn that Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph. Now that's a much stronger term than we know today as being engaged to be married. In Jewish society, this meant they could live together in the same house, but they weren't allowed to cohabit until they were married. No doubt some couples broke this rule, and if the woman had the misfortune to become pregnant, then she suffered the consequences. It was a terrible disgrace in their society. And this is one reason why the Gospels emphasize that Mary remained a virgin until she was married to Joseph. How then would this teenage girl have felt when she was approached by the angel? St. Luke tells us she was troubled and disturbed when the angel Gabriel came to her. So much so that almost his first words to her were, "Don't be afraid, Mary." At this point, put out of your minds, if you can, the Christmas image, the Christmas card image of an angel. You see, in the first century, the people of Palestine were very superstitious. And that meant that anyone who saw what they thought was an angel, they were not so much aware of their beauty because they were terrified out of their wits. People expected to die if they saw anything or anyone that looked like an angel. Well, thankfully for us, Mary survived her experience and she lived to tell the tale which we have in the Gospel today. In fact, we can say with some confidence that Mary was a very special woman because she listened to what God had to say to her through the angel, and she obeyed. Let's be quite clear, friends, Mary wasn't perfect in herself, for she was an ordinary person, just like ourselves. She didn't have a proper understanding of all that was happening around her, but through her faith, she had that obedient spirit which we seek to emulate. You see, despite all her fears and uncertainties, she listened and she accepted what the angel had to say to her and she obeyed his word. And so can we. So turn with me now in your Bibles to St. Luke chapter 1. St. Luke chapter 1. We're reading from verses 26 to 45.
In 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Friends, when you think about it, there are two babies in the Christmas story. And they're both linked together by the kinship of their mothers and the visit of the angel Gabriel. You can read again for yourselves in the early part of Luke chapter 1, in which the angel came first to Zechariah as he served at the temple in Jerusalem, for he was a priest on duty there. And while he served at the altar, Gabriel appeared before him to tell him that his wife Elizabeth would soon produce a child to be called John, who would prepare the way for the coming of God's Messiah. Like Mary, he was very fearful of that seeming apparition. And because of his lack of faith to believe what the angel was telling him, we read that he was struck dumb until the child was born. 6 months later, the same angel came to Palestine once again, this time to Mary, to reveal God's plan for her, as we read a moment ago. We cannot be sure why the angel is named on both occasions, and that leaves us free to surmise that Gabriel is one of God's chief angels, possibly even an archangel, for he had a most important message to deliver on both occasions. There are four things to be said about the intervention by the angel on behalf of his heavenly master. First of all, it was to a specific location. Nazareth at that time of Jesus appears to have been a village of mud huts and cave dwellings, very different from what it is today. To an outsider, it was a place with a reputation, like a housing estate where crime is rampant. Even one of the disciples later claimed that nothing ever good came out of Nazareth. Yet it's to this place, a place of popular prejudice, that God sent his most trusted messenger. The Reverend Eric Delve, an Anglican priest whom some of us recently heard speaking at the centenary celebrations at the Evesham Church Centre, he tells of a time when he was sent by his bishop and asked to go and look over St. Lawrence Parish in the Kirkdale district of Liverpool. And Eric writes this: "It was definitely not what we were seeking. Standing there in the car park in the pouring rain, he said quietly, 'Oh God, this is a wasteland.' And he continues, 'Immediately, I heard a voice speaking to me, "It's a wasteland where people live." And I knew that inescapably we were meant to be here in Kirkdale." That was one man's experience. And I'm certain there are others here who have known God speak to them in difficult situations. Tell me, how did you respond? How did you react when the degree of difficulty or challenge became clear to you? For Mary, there was no doubt. There was no delay. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." The second factor in God's intervention by the angel Gabriel was to a special person. Where was Mary when Gabriel appeared? What was she doing at that particular moment? We don't know. She could have been standing at the door of her mud hut brushing out the dust. Although with the help of Joseph the carpenter, we can imagine that it was a comfortable dwelling place. Or she might have been working over the fire in the yard cooking a meal. We don't know. As Mary was working there, whatever she was doing, she could have been singing a psalm, just as we might sing a song or a hymn as we go about our business at home. Because it was through these songs that the words of Scripture come very easily to mind, especially if they are in the form that can be sung, as we sang a moment ago, what we call the Magnificat, Mary's song. As Mary went about her tasks, suddenly the light around her became brighter than anything she had seen before, and she was in great fear. And when the angel Gabriel finally spoke to her, it was to calm her. And the most reassuring part was the fact that this stranger knew her by name. Yes, he knows her by name. He speaks to her by name. And that's the wonderful thing about our faith, that we have a God who knows us by name and by nature. And he deals with us as if we are the only one requiring help at that time. He confronts us personally, as if there's only one of us to love. We get his own individual attention when we turn to him in our need. And the third factor in God's intervention in the life of Mary was to give a unique message. Have you ever considered this, that no one else in human history has ever, or ever will receive such a challenge to be the mother of our Lord, who is God's Son. Mary alone was chosen to receive and bear the Christ of God in her womb. And in this way she became a model for all Christians, in whom Christ comes to dwell by the power of his Holy Spirit. So what do we learn from her? For example, why does Gabriel say that Mary is highly favored by God? What does he mean by that expression? Is he speaking here of an inner beauty, or is it a reflection of the whole person? I think the Apostle Peter gives us a clue in one of his letters when he speaks in 1 Peter chapter 3 of the inner self of a woman as unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Looking back in my own life, those who have had the greatest influence upon me are those whose lives reflected something of our Savior Jesus Christ. There was and is a radiance about them which is more of heaven than of earth. And usually I find they're quite unaware of it themselves, but those who come in contact with them are fully aware of that inner glow. And in this connection, it's good to value such a person, to uphold them in prayer before the Lord, because their witness is vital. And at the same time, we might pray that we should emulate their example. And the fourth and final factor in God's intervention by the angel Gabriel in the life of Mary concerns powerful promises. So far we've considered a specific location, namely Nazareth, a special person, who is Mary, a unique message that a Savior is coming into the world, and finally powerful promises. You see, it was impossible for Mary to generate the physical life of God's Son all by herself. As the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Likewise, it's impossible for the Christian to reproduce the nature of Jesus Christ within our lives without a similar enabling by the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life in our own strength and by our own wit. We must be able to depend upon the one who has given us new life in Jesus. A young paratrooper admitted he was frightened the first time he had to jump from an aircraft, for there was nothing but a large piece of fabric between him and sudden death. What if the fabric of the parachute accidentally tore apart? What if his ripcord didn't work and his reserve chute failed to open? Thankfully, when he made his first jump, everything functioned properly and perfectly. Supported by that life-preserving umbrella over his head, the man floated safely earthwards. And he said afterwards of the event, "I had a release from fear and a marvelous feeling of exhilaration." When you think about it, friends, the Bible is full of promises that God has made to help us follow in his way. I wonder, will they be able to help us in our faith journey? Well, it depends on whether we believe them to be God's promises or simply words written in a book. Like the paratrooper, we have to step out in faith and put our trust in them before they become effective in your life and in mine. It's that first step of faith which can make all the difference. And today we have reflected upon the example of Mary, the mother of our Lord, who grew up as an ordinary person like ourselves, but who stepped out in faith, believing the reassuring words of the angel Gabriel, and she didn't look back. What of ourselves today? Can we likewise put our hand in the Savior's hand, knowing that he will not let us go? This morning we're invited to come to the table of our Lord, that we may receive the elements of bread and wine, representing for us the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. In this sacrament, we step out in faith, that we might receive from His hand that which has been prepared for us, believing He is our host at His table, and He wants to nourish us in this way, in order to equip and strengthen us in His service. And He bids us all come, just as we are. Amen. May God bless to us this meditation upon His word, and let us pray. Lord, we come to Your table, trusting in Your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under Your table, but it is Your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend this day. So feed us with the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, Your Son, that we may forever live in Him and He in us, for Your great love's sake. Amen.